Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and stand with me as we open up the Holy Scriptures. Let's start with verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. One will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but also we exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Would you pray with me, please? Would you pray that God would open your heart? Would you pray that God would help you understand the gospel in a deeper way today? Pray that God would touch your heart and help you to understand the riches of the gospel today. Would you pray for the other people in this room that God, through this passage, would help them understand the riches of the gospel today? Now, would you pray for me that I would preach this passage exactly as Paul intended it to be taught? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Verse 8, Romans 5, 8, my favorite verse in the entire Bible. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. A day is coming, Trinity Baptist Church, a day is coming when God's wrath, God's righteous anger will be poured out on sinful human beings. You and I deserve that wrath. We are guilty before God. We are guilty because of our sin. And a day is coming when God's righteous anger will be poured out to judge the sin of human beings. Romans 1:18 reminds us of that. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But this verse gives us incredible good news. Incredible good news. Look at verse 8 again. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Trinity Baptist Church, we have been justified by the blood of Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean? What is justification? Justification, Trinity Baptist Church, answers the most important question. It answers the most important question of all. How can a person be made right with God? How can a person be accepted by God? The question asks another question. How does God see me? How does God look at David Gordon? Does God see me as unrighteous, or does God see me as righteous? How does God see me, and how does God see you? And another question we all need to ask ourselves, if God sees me as unrighteous, what do I need to do about that? How can I be made right with God? It is the most important question in the entire world. And it is a question that everyone must ask and find the answer, because all of us, according to our own works, are on the unrighteous side. All of us, according to our own works, are on the unrighteous side. There is not a single person in this room, including and especially the pastor, there is not a single person in churches around the world today, there is not a single person breathing in the world today that, based on their own good works, are on the righteous side. Every single human being, according to their own good works, is on the unrighteous side. So something has to be done to fix that. Something has to be done. God is the standard of righteousness. God alone decides what is righteous and what is not. And furthermore, God alone decides who is righteous and who is not. God alone decides. Justification is the most important need of mankind. And answering the question is the most important question of all. So what is justification? First of all, what is it not? Justification is not doing anything good for God. Justification is not any good thought, any good word or action that we do. We contribute nothing to justification. It is entirely something God does, and it's not something that you and I do at all. Number one in your notes. Please take notes. This may be the most important sermon I have ever preached in this pulpit. Number one in your notes, justification is God's act declaring you righteous in his sight. The blanks are God's and declaring. Justification is God's act declaring you righteous in his sight. When God justifies you, you are cleared of all charges. You are declared not guilty. Justification is the opposite of condemnation. When you are condemned by God, you are declared guilty. When you are justified by God, you are declared righteous. When you are justified, listen, when you are justified, it does not mean you are sinless. It means God doesn't count your sins against you. When you are justified, it doesn't mean you are sinless. It means God doesn't count your sins against you. Number two in your notes, justification is God's response to our faith in Jesus. Justification is God's response to our faith in Jesus. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are justified by God. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. How are we justified? How are we justified? Paul says we are justified by his blood. That is verse 9. We are justified by his blood. Justification is accomplished on the cross. Number 3 in your notes. We are justified by Christ's finished work on the cross. We are justified by Christ's finished work on the cross. God declared us righteous because of what Jesus did for us. God declared us righteous because of what Jesus did for us. So here's your answer. Number 4 in your notes. How can a person be made right with God? The one who trusts in Christ is officially declared to be right with God, not on the basis of our work, but on the basis of Christ's work on the cross. How can a person be made right with God? The one who trusts in Christ is officially declared to be right with God, not on the basis of our work, but on the basis of Christ's work on the cross. If you never hear me say anything, get number 4. If you haven't heard me anything I've said for 20 years, if you've never listened to anything I say, and you're never coming back to this church again, get number 4. It's the most important thing I will ever say. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Look at verse 8 again. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. The very first words in verse 9, much more. They're the very first words in English and Greek, much more. And Paul wants you to notice those words, which is why he puts them first. Paul wants you to notice those words because those two words, much more, are the point of verse 9. Much more. Here is the story of humanity. God created us in his image, created a beautiful world for us to enjoy, created man and woman, and gave them to each other to enjoy God and his blessings together. But we rebelled against him. We disobeyed him. What did we do? Romans tells us exactly what we did. Turn a couple pages back in Romans to chapter 1, verse 21. It won't be on the screen, so you'll need to look in your own Bible. Romans 1:21. For even though they, or we, knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the women and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own person the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they knew, or we knew, the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, we not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice. That's what we did. Amen? Let's confess. That's what we did. That's how we treated God. We were His enemies. And what was God's response? He created us in His image, gave us a beautiful earth, gave us man and woman, gave us marriage, gave us everything. And we turned our backs and said, we reject You, and we're replacing You with gods of our own. What was His response? Did He wipe us out? Did He send us all to hell? Did He give up? Did He pour out His wrath? What was His response? He sent His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. And Paul's point in this verse is so powerful. If that's how God treated us when we were His enemies, how much more can we be certain of our future salvation since we're His children now? If that's how God responded to us when we were sinners, how is God going to treat us in the future now that we're His children? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Here is what Paul is saying in both verses. This is Paul's point in this passage. If while we were sinners, Christ died for us, if while we were enemies, Christ reconciled us, now that we are forgiven, now that our relationship with God is restored, how much more can we be absolutely sure of our future salvation? Number 5 in your notes. We can be absolutely assured of our future salvation as children of God based on what God did for us when we were children of wrath. We can be absolutely assured of our future salvation as children of God based on what God did for us when we were children of wrath. Number 6. If God sent His Son to die for us while we were His enemies, He will certainly save us in the end since we are His children. If God sent His Son to die for us while we are His enemies, He will certainly save us in the end while we are His children. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5:10. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, those are the words, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This is an amazing verse, Trinity Baptist. We were enemies of God. Our relationship with God was totally broken, and there was no hope of ever doing anything to fix it. There was no hope of ever doing enough good works for you and I to repair our relationship with God. We were his enemies, but God fixed it. Look at Luke 6:27. Jesus commands us to do this. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. That's such a powerful verse because that's how God treated you and me. Verse 10 again. Romans 5:10. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. 7 in your notes. In verse 9, we learn that we are justified. That is our legal standing before God. In verse 10, we learn that we are reconciled. That is our relational standing before God. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Please keep a bookmark in Romans and join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It won't be on the screen, so you'll need to turn there in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Remember that verse. We'll bring it up later. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God reconciled us to himself through Christ. He made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise his holy name. Paul said in verse 9, he says it again in verse 10, if God reconciled us to himself while we were enemies, how much more can we be confident that as his children, we will be saved from the wrath of God when the end comes. We have a sure, confident hope in Christ that we shall be saved. I gave you this quote at the bottom of your note sheet. It says this: if God justifies and reconciles to himself enemies, he will certainly save friends. Amen? We have a hope that will not disappoint us, Trinity Baptist. If God forgave us when we were his enemies, now that we are his children, he will obviously save us when Jesus returns. Look at verse 11. And not only this, Romans 5:11. Not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. This is a great Greek word, and it's pronounced really funny. So pay attention here. The Greek word is literally kachuomai. Kachuomai. And it means to glory or to boast. To glory or to boast. If you read 2 Corinthians, Paul uses this word over and over and over again. But Paul in Romans 5:11 says, we exalt or we boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Very powerful statement. You see, with salvation by works, we can boast. The Jews boasted in their relationship with God. The Jews boasted in the law. The Jews boasted in their keeping of the law, in their observance of the law. And Paul in Philippians 3 says, if anyone has an occasion to boast, I have more than anybody else. And he lists his religious rights to boast. But in the same chapter of Philippians 3, he says, we are the true circumcision, who put no confidence in the flesh and boast in Christ alone. When you're living by works, if salvation is by works, when you think you're good enough to go to heaven, you put confidence in yourself. You put confidence in your good works and in your religious performance. But when you truly trust in Christ and Him alone, we are humbled. We see clearly that we are sinners, and we can't boast in anything but Jesus. We boast in Christ and in Him alone. And Paul says this over and over and over again. Galatians 6:14. May it be that I would boast. May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Philippians 3:3, I just said that one. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory, same Greek word, glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. You see, when you truly understand salvation by grace, God gets all the credit. Christ gets all the glory. It all belongs to Him. When you truly understand salvation by grace, you exalt in God, you glory in God, you boast in God, you praise God, you worship God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And every single one of you that is truly born again here today, when Jesus comes back, He will take you home to be with Him. And when you see Him, you will know that it wasn't you, that it was all Him. and he will get all the glory, and he will get all the praise. And we will praise him forever and ever and ever. You may be here today, and you're not born again. You're not born again. Maybe you have a superficial belief in Jesus Christ. You might have prayed a prayer years ago, but you haven't experienced that truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, which says, if any man or woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You may have a superficial belief in Jesus. You may have prayed a prayer years ago, but you haven't experienced the life-changing power of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may be here and you're not born again. There is nothing you can do. There is no good work. There is no sacrifice. There is no human effort whatsoever that you can do to be saved. You must be born again. But the opposite is true. You're here today and you are born again. If you're here today and you are born again, you've experienced a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not perfect. You're far from it. In fact, the closer you get to Christ, the more you see your own sin. But you're here today, and you're born again. There is nothing you can do to add to your salvation. It's a done deal. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we exalt, we glory, we boast this morning in our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have been reconciled to our Heavenly Father. We're saved by grace, we live by grace, and we will get home by grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.